Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
I had to go about it, write it out, and find it myself. And there's some stories I can tell you. I had to fail, had to fall, just for what I did well. And there's some stories I can
tell you. Well, nearly 8 years ago, we started The Final Word with Adam Collins and Jeff Lemon. And for the first time in the run of the pod, today, we are doing it from India.
Both of us. Together. You've been here, I've been here, but we've never been here.
First day of the Border Gavaskar series, a series from which we'll be producing a daily show on every single playing day of it, probably some non-playing days as well. And if you're new to it, if you're finding us on YouTube, because your algorithm has said you want BGT stuff being thrown at you,
you'll be
here. But how we start these each days is one of us summing up all 90 overs in the space of 30 seconds today. That's going to be Jeff. Proceed.
Australia won the toss, batted, and were 2 for 2. Not too great. Warner Khawaja out early to the quicks. Labuschagne and Smith put on a partnership of 82, but that gets broken. Labuschagne stumped. There's another partnership between Hanscom and Carey worth 53. That's the only thing of note. Other than that, it's just Jadeja taking wickets. Loves doing it against Australia. Ends up with 5 for 40-odd. Happy days. Bowl out Australia for 177. And by stumps, 1 for 77. India, Rohit Sharma on 56.
That's right.
Yeah.
100-run deficit. 5 for 47, Jadeja. He's 11th five-wicket bag in Test cricket. I think he's up to 247 Test victims. He's taken about 75 of them at 17 against Australia.
Loves a bag, like the Coogee Bay Hotel. Loves a bag.
And Ashwin does as well against Australia. He took 3 of them. He's up to, well, beyond 450, that time-honoured milestone of 450. Mm-hmm. However, I will say, if you're the second fastest bowler to 450 Test wickets, you're going okay.
Sure.
Ashwin went through the bottom half after.
You know what I say. If you're the second fastest bowler to 450 Test wickets, get 500. Talk to me about a real milestone.
I think you might. You know.
Yeah, I think you will.
Might. He was great today, Ashwin. From the moment he came on, they actually went to Akshar first, but he didn't get in the wickets. 100-run deficit.
Yep.
Australia's day is probably. Looks a lot better for the fact that Todd Murphy on Test debut, who played ahead of Agar, picked up a late wicket. KL Rahul spooned a chance back to him. The bat spun around in his hand as he made contact, moved away to his right. Lovely moment. His parents and family flew over yesterday knowing he was going to make his Test debut. So thrilled to see that for him. He bowled so nicely at the start. Just spoke to Manas Labuschagne at the close of play for radio, and he's like, wow, this guy's incredible. Lands it on the spot, gets heaps of work on it, really confident and temperamentally well-suited to playing top-flight cricket. So they might have found one there.
Yeah. I had a little chat with him after play. He seemed very measured, very level, despite all of the, you know, the tumult around making a debut, getting his family over, not being able to tell people. You know, he knew far enough in advance that he was able to get his parents here to watch him play, and that was really when the cat got out of the bag, yeah. When his dad was spotted in the airport leaving Australia. You don't usually come over just on spec, you know, that he might be playing.
Like when Callum Ferguson's brother flew to Hobart.
Exactly.
And we all knew he was playing the next day back in 2016 or whatever it was.
Yes, the run out incident and the close up shots of, oh look, it wasn't a great day for the Ferguson family, put it that way, but it wasn't a great day for the Murphy family necessarily. Todd Murphy had to bat first, made a duck at number 9 off 5 balls and then bowled for quite a while. Like, drew a couple of false shots from KL Rahul, mostly squeezed the inside edge a couple of times. Just made you think, okay, well, he's at least in the offing. But I made the comparison on air to Bryce McGain in his first test. It doesn't matter if you get a few half chances, if you don't then take a wicket and then take another wicket. And that's what he's done. He's at least in the book, although KL Rahul looks pretty unconvincing. Rohit Sharma's the one they need to get out, because he came out and just... I mean, it was the classic India test match thing, right? Like, the visiting team scraps and wheezes and scrapes for every run, and then India, usually Rohit Sharma, comes out and just boom, 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 boom. Three boundaries in the first over. Suddenly, whoosh, he's 30 off 25 balls.
Yeah, three in the first four balls. Two of them were glorious clips off Cummins through mid-wicket. I don't suppose Cummins has ever had three fours in four balls hit off him at test level, given he's had such a frugal and stellar career, but so it happened today.
First three overs, one maiden for Cummins and then none for 23.
Yeah.
So 23, I think, of the other two.
Yeah, Nagpur, who was born in Nagpur. He's known as a Mumbai lad, of course, but started out here, made a test 100 here in 2017. He's actually only played a couple of tests since becoming captain. He's been injured most of the time. Mm-hmm. They've had to turn to KL Rahul, Jasprit Bumrah. Obviously, Kohli was captain before him earlier in 2022, but it's an odd career, Rohit, because it took him a long time to get an opportunity in Test cricket. 2013, the Sachin Farewell Tour. That's on T-shirts, you know, Sachin. Yeah. And then...
didn't they have...
Hundreds in both of those tests.
Didn't they have planes full of rose petals that were supposed to fly over the ground on day four and dump them onto the ground, and the match was over in 3 days?
If they're going cheap,
I've got a good deal. If you want a plane full of rose petals, I have one at a discount market rate, my friend. You can get yourself a bargain.
I mean, Rohit just looks like, well, unflappable as ever, stylish as ever. But you know, have you seen a bloke more rusted on for a ton than him in the last hour of play tonight? He's going to make 100 runs tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe 100 more than he's got at the moment. Maybe he'll be a daddy 100. But unless Nathan Lyon really can bowl an unplayable in the morning, and that'll be at 9:30 when it isn't an ideal time to be bowling finger spin.
Yeah,
lots of dew on the surface when you start so early.
Quite a lot. We noticed that walking around the boundary this morning. You know, your shoes get soaked by the time you get from one end of the ground to the other round the rope. It does dry up a little bit as the sun comes out, but yes, very moist conditions.
It's a factor. Just going back in the day when the spinners turned it on, Jadeja, 2 in 2 balls. I was on comms for the Labuschagne wicket. Fuck me, that was good bowling. I mean, he set him up with the faster one earlier in the over straight on, which obviously was in Labuschagne's head, trying to negate the spin by coming forward out of his crease later in the over, or negate the quicker ball and get well outside
and
the line
turned,
of the off stump.
It turned big. Like, Jadeja can get that shredded.
But it was the turn and the dip with the same delivery and a fraction slower. It's like, you know, finger spin often can be, excuse the cliche, about the guile. It's an unpretty discipline. I mean, it was pretty there, but broadly speaking, off spinners don't garner a lot of respect, or finger spinners as a rule. Most people think they can pump them, and often they do get pumps. But there's a reason why they play a lot more test cricket than wrist spinners, is because when they can turn the screws, it is so difficult to get them away. And yeah, what happened to Labuschagne today was we were stumped by Kaz Bharat on test debut. Nice piece of keeping for his first test dismissal. But that was the start of the chain reaction. Jadeja's in the game. And when he's in the game against Australia, they rarely get out of that trap.
Yeah.
And the next ball, he gets Renshaw with the quicker one that turns prodigiously from a good length. There was a bit of an explosion there too, which gives him some more to work with. Gets through Smith's defences not long after that. And it does kind of transfer all this pressure onto Peter Hanscom returning to the test team. Well, I thought that really, really well.
Yeah.
And Alex Carey, who was reverse sweeping from literally the first ball, it brought him undone eventually, but... I'm going to stand up for him. Like, in the absence of those reverse sweeps, I don't put on 53, and he makes 34 of those or something.
They're probably all out for 130 instead of 170. If he doesn't take it up to India early, there was a bit of cat and mouse. Rohit Sharma ends up having three on the offside, stacking the leg side and challenging him to play the reverse, which he did keep playing and finding those gaps on the offside. I thought that was smart from Carey to come out and do things in the way that makes him feel comfortable. You know, he's a calm head in the middle. But the Steve Smith dismissal, you don't see Steve Smith get beaten on the inside edge very much. I mean, that's been, like, yes, he's had his battles with left arm spinners. He's had some titanic contests with them, but he's always
especially
been in
there. Elgar, he's got him out twice in Test cricket.
Oh, the big fella. Even when he was up against Herath in 2016, Smith still made runs against Herath. You know, Herath got him out a number of times, but it was an equal contest, and a big part of that is the way that he plays the line of the ball and doesn't worry about the turn. He did play for a bit of turn that time, and it just almost came in a bit, that delivery. Jadeja really pinged it through, and it seemed to come in a little after pitching and sneak through that little gap between bat and pad. You don't see Steve Smith get clean bowled like that often.
No, you don't. And again, the other thing about Jadeja, which always stands out, is how quickly he bowls his overs. And in conditions like this, when the game's already speeding up, he just swarms you. And that's what he was doing to the Australians. So credit to Hanscom upon his return. He's out for 31. He's the second last wicket to fall after tea when they're trying to play the milk the strike game. So you forgive him for that. But to that point, he did kind of keep things patched together, albeit with a bit of sticky tape.
Yeah.
And getting him to 177. And I was on with Ravi Shastri at the time. I'm like, you know, well, that might be an okay score because of the surface. And by the way, it's not an unreasonable surface. This wasn't, like, I was critical of the Chennai surface a couple of years ago because on morning one, it was, you know, taking chunks out of the pitch. This did not do that. Let's be really clear. It was a great pitch to bowl spin on, but it was a fair contest if you could get in. And that's what Hanscom did and what Carey did, and that's what got them to a score that, you know, it isn't credible, but, you know, if you kind of squint at it, if Australia take quick wickets tomorrow morning, the game could speed up for them as well.
Yeah. Look, there's the possibility, but it looks to me like, I mean, the match that's in my head is the one against England a couple of years ago where, you know, they puffed and wheezed on a spinning track and then Rohit came out and made 165 just breezily, you know, on a very difficult spinning pitch. I mean, this one isn't that level of difficulty yet.
No.
And he's got that ability to do it. So, look, I mean, I think he, after the fast start against the new ball and so on, he will slow down. But he looks so in command and in control. And it was the new ball that really stuffed up Australia at the start. That was interesting. I wondered if they'd been thinking about spin so much that they didn't really think about India's quicks. And suddenly you've got Siraj and Shami both bowling good spells with the new ball. Siraj swinging it, hits Khawaja on the pad. I mean, that's, you know, that's bee's appendages in terms of pitching it just in line with the leg stump and then hitting the leg stump flush enough to overturn a not-out decision.
I was surprised that's hard to get. Project it to miss more of leg.
I just thought going down when I saw it, but it just pitched in line.
Yeah.
And then the one that gets Warner from around the wicket, Shami comes in and he gets that seam. He gets it to angle in and then deck away slightly, beats the outside edge off the thigh pad, smash two of the stumps out of the ground. Spectacular stuff. Both your openers out for one. Doesn't happen very often.
Yeah, I mean, DJ Shami getting the early wicket, then Siraj with his first ball, wasn't it? His first ball in the Test match, I'm pretty sure, wasn't it? Or was that, have I got that right?
It was his first ball, but he was bowling the second over.
Sorry, right you are. Yeah, nevertheless, Siraj, who got the new ball moving around and in the air too. It wasn't just a case of it was in the air naturally being the new ball, but it was consistent and they were high quality out swingers, and it didn't get them a third wicket, but it could have. It could have been a 3-wicket first hour all through seam. It was an excellent consolidation between Labuschagne and Smith, who really got Australia back on track by lunch at 2 for 74, and I think they got it to 84 before they lost the third wicket. I'm not saying it was necessarily on as even, but it was pretty close. It was pretty close, I reckon, given how well Labuschagne was batting. He, until his dismissal, looked fantastic.
What it was that fallback that Australia have, where if a couple go early, they've got Smith and Labuschagne, and those two stick together for a long period of time and do a job. And that's what India were able to do. They were able to prise those fingers off the cliff edge, you know, and send them into the abyss. You get through those two for, by their standards, cheap scores, even though they made more than anybody else did. That's the big step towards really taking control of the match, and that's what happened.
Right. The final word Hall of Fame is where we identify the most final word moment of the test playing day, and we offer that to you as a living sacrifice. Not really.
Yep. Could be.
Shared for you and for many.
Might put your heart into my chest like Indiana Jones in the Temple of Doom and remove it and hold it up for an adulation of the crowd.
And I might just say on the way through, if you want to be part of the Final Word Hall of Fame when we're in India, and you know, whisper it, a lot of people are going to watch and listen to this show when we're in India, just do get in touch, finalwordcricket@gmail.com. These are by far our biggest shows, the daily shows, so you can have this segment all to you, and the start of the show as well. Jeff, your nominations.
Well, all right, I've got a couple. One is that I can't help thinking that Todd Murphy is a dead ringer for Andy Maher, which won't mean a lot to an Indian audience necessarily, but every time he comes into bowl, has he escaped from the commentary box? What's going on? How's he down there? Why is he wearing that hat?
I did a cross with Andy Maher this morning before, but I'm going to bring that up tomorrow.
Yeah, well,
I'm going to say that Todd Murphy looks like you. Jeff told me so.
Yeah, well, you know, and batting in the specs and bowling in the specs, I like that as a bespectacled gentleman myself. Okay. You know, I like somebody who gets the eyewear and keeps it on, commits to the look.
A couple of things for me. First of all, we kind of brushed over Ashwin's 450, but you know, I love the idea that he and Lyon could be head-to-head the whole way through the series. Their race to 500 is going to be great, so we'll strap in and embrace that.
Them gang up on Courtney Walsh.
Yeah, they'll give him a call on WhatsApp video. Yeah. They'll go, fuck off.
Yeah.
We've overtaken you. Stick it up your ass. I hope they don't. Courtney's man.
Yeah,
I'm really lovely bloke.
Yeah, I suspect that would be unlikely.
Inappropriate, probably.
But you can't rule things out. We're not playing the rule-in, rule-out game on this show.
Never play the rule-in, rule-out game on the final word, nor do I when I'm doing a press conference. Now, we walked around the side of the ground a number of times today, Brett and me, because, well, I don't know. Maybe I'll just put it... We couldn't get access to Ravi Shastri, who's doing so much TV, that we had to take the... We had to take the mountain to Muhammad, so to speak, and make a commentary box in the press box for him to join us, which was a lot of fun and it worked nicely. We'll do it again tomorrow, but it necessitated Brett and I doing a lot of laps of the ground on the inside of the advertising boards, but not the inside of the LED screens, if that makes sense. And the crowd going rather wild for, well, Brett, but a little bit for me too. And the reason being, it's that referred fame through Harsha Bhogle and all the videos I used to do with Crick Buzz. Well, here's the thing. We're not doing Crick Buzz chatter this series, Harsha and me. The only time you'll see Harsha and me together, well, you'll hear us on radio, but the only time you'll hear us talk about Harsha will be on the Final Word. So tell your friends. If you're a Crick Buzz fan of mine and you've wandered onto this link on YouTube or you found the podcast, it's Jeff and me, not Harsha.
Totally. And I've often been told that I'm eerily similar to Harsha Bhogle, a dead ringer. In many ways, the Harsha Bhogle of the Final Word.
And I should say, by the way, look at Brett's Twitter feed. One of the professional snappers has taken a photo of him, giving it these ones to the crowd, giving the shuckers to the crowd when he was, or the devil sign, as he called it.
Oh, very nice. So, my last nomination, I think, is the fact that Jadeja has, after a lifetime of good beard, good moustache, good hair all around, he's gone for the little ponytail now. Just going to tie it back there so that he looks like a guy who you meet at a backpacker's who steals your girlfriend by playing Jack Johnson covers. Like, it's such a look. And I'm like, you're nearly 35, Ravindra. I mean, but he still looks 22 and he still moves like a 22.
Here on the Final Word, didn't be mentioning them. I did go to school in Buffalo years ago. That is why. I think that's it.
Yeah, that's it.
It has been the Final Word Daily. I'm Adam Collins. He's Jeff Lemon. You can find us in all the usual places. Here's Brett here. Come on, show him your lovely clothes. Here's Baz. We were just talking about your laps of the ground. So he's got the, I don't know, what would you call it? He's got rabbits on his trousers and flowers on his chest.
Nothing worse than rabbits in your pants, let me tell you.
We'll join you again tomorrow to do day two. Tell your mates we're making this show. And again, if you want to be really, really involved with it, finalwordcricket@gmail.com. Partner with us. Be with us. Bye-bye.
See ya.
George Benson, I ain't protected, brother, I ain't fenced in. If my future questions my current senses, that'd be the same we've been doing for centuries. Sorry if I ran out to empty, wrote this so you know what I meant here.
I had to go about it, write it out.